Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Random Theory Podcast. I'm Grace.
And I'm Josh.
And together we answer the curious questions that our friends have about the world. And our friends are you, our listeners.
The science pals.
The science pals.
Yay.
I just wanted to say, I was like, this sounds like a kid cartoon or something. Like the Backyardigans, but we're the science pals instead. We use science to solve problems. That could be a good kids TV show.
That is, yeah. Should we make a kids TV show?
I feel like we could. We use a little Pythagorean theorem every now and then. Educate the kids real young.
You lost me with the Pythagorean theorem.
It's okay. I like the Pythagorean theorem, personally. I think that one actually is like very helpful to life. The one that I don't like is the quadratic formula. That one can go kick a bucket. Go outside and smell grass or touch grass. That's what it is. That one can kick rocks.
Yeah. Well, that's how Grace feels about math.
I like math, actually. I just don't like when you have to have a formula memorized. I think that's just very old school because nowadays you can just go look everything up. I think you need to know how to use them, but you don't necessarily need to have it memorized. I could literally ask Alexa right now what it is and she would tell me and break it down. So
That's the interesting thing. I don't know, obviously, because I mean, you and I are old, so I don't know what
AI
they're doing
nowadays.
Yeah, because like when I was in school, my math teacher was like, you won't always have a calculator, so you need to know how to do. And I'm like, I got a calculator in my pocket 24/7
all the time.
Never not have it.
2 times 2, I don't need to know. I'll just ask my calculator.
Can't be bothered with 2 times 2. No way.
Oh, man.
Oh, you know, good math tangent right off the top.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's going to be a good one.
We're thriving. Anyway, do you have any ratings or reviews to read? Do you have one?
I've got just a quick comment from Sportsnut81, which I think they have actually, this is not the first one, and this is coming from Spotify, and they just said, love the new format. So thank you so much. Yeah, anyone out there, please do keep letting us know if you're liking it, if you're not liking it, what you don't like or what you do like. Let us
know. Yeah, we would love to
know.
Because
we're going to keep tweaking it. We recently, we cut the opening like hook thing because it just didn't work.
If there's like a section you think we need, add in, let us know.
Yeah. If we're missing something.
Yeah, if we're missing something, let us know. Speaking of letting us know, I do have some listener curiosity.
Okay.
It comes from Kayla Graham. They titled the email Science Pal. And it says, okay. Hi, I love your guys' videos and the podcast. They put a test tube and 2 science pals. We appreciate you, Kayla. So it says, here's my knock knock joke. Ready, Josh?
Yes, I am ready.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Razor hands.
Razor hands who?
Raise your hands like you just don't care.
Oh my goodness. Oh. That was a good one because I honestly had no idea where that was going. That was, yeah.
I like that one. That was fun. Oh gosh. Then Kayla said, I have a podcast request. Kayla, I love this podcast request. I think it is amazing. Kayla wants to know, why do people get anxiety?
Mm.
And then Kayla signed it Panda G from Florida, which I'm assuming she's left a rating and review on Apple Pods before and gone by Panda G because I remember that name.
Yeah, the name sounds familiar.
Panda G from Florida.
Panda G, Kayla, thank you so much for writing in.
Kayla, I am so excited to answer this question because I myself am so curious about this. This like opened my mind and I can't wait to talk about this with the Science Pals because I think anxiety is a topic that everyone should discuss and talk about because it reduces its power over you. And we're going to get into that right after this break. Kayla, thank you so much for that rating and review. And I'm so excited to talk about this topic.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I feel like this is a very interesting topic. Because yeah. I feel like anxiety didn't get a name and I didn't know what anxiety was until I was in about like high school or college.
It is a very interesting thing because I feel like just over the last few years, maybe 5 years, it has become more of a talking point, which is great. I mean, yeah, when I was like younger, early teens, even I'm a kid, obviously, like no one talked about anxiety.
No.
No one talked about it.
People talk about like angsty teens, but like angsty teens was just like, I don't know, you were into like angsty teen music. Like it was a music genre like Avril Lavigne.
Sure. My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, exactly. Like so good. But it was never like talked about.
Yeah, I think it's very much become something that people talk about. So maybe like younger listeners, you might be like, what are you talking about? Like everyone's constantly talking about it now. And it's like, yeah, now, yeah. Which is great. A couple years ago, no one talked about it.
No, it was not a thing. It was literally not a thing. Everyone experiences fear and anxiety at some point in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is an immediate response to a specific threatening stimulus. Anxiety, on the other hand, is less intense but more sustained response to anxiety-inducing sources that may be known. So, for example, you may be anxious about the possibility of seeing a snake on a hike through the woods, but you may experience fear if one slithers ahead of you or something on a trail.
Okay. So fear is like the result.
Yes.
Anxiety is the buildup to the result.
Is the precursor, yes.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's always been categorized as the fight or flight response.
Yeah.
But anxiety was never really given a name. But I feel like fight or flight is anxiety in a nutshell.
Yeah, I would think they do go hand in hand.
I experience anxiety constantly.
Well, okay. Yeah, let's talk about this real quick. I didn't ask my usual question off the top, but what's your experience with anxiety?
I experienced anxiety later in life.
I didn't
really have it as a kid. I didn't have it as a young adult. I would say I started feeling anxiety probably a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Basically when I was handed the T-Core channel and was just kind of told to like, hey, run the channel. Because I've always kind of been like a no fear person. Like I've never, I've always just been kind of like, okay, let's do it. Okay, let's go. Okay, I'll try that. Like I'm down. But I feel like anxiety started manifesting for me when I was, it's not even more responsibility, but it came when there was more unknown in my life.
Sure.
And for me, my anxiety is like different. So a lot of people like their anxiety manifests as like worry and like, they get really nervous about things. For me, anxiety just causes me to shut down completely. Like if I have to film a video, like filming a video used to be so scary. It still is kind of scary for me. But I used to get so much anxiety around it that I would just put off filming the video because I just couldn't think about it. Or I would put off doing everything that needed to be done because I had so much anxiety around it. So I like push it away, which makes my anxiety worse because then I like have to do it later on. And now there's like, I have to do it.
It's like less time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So for me, like my anxiety manifests in like, I just want to lay on the couch and sleep through it and pretend it's not existing and happening. What about you?
I think I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, I don't really have too much of a recollection of, like, growing up being too anxious. I mean, I'm sure there was some that, you know, maybe it just, I just didn't classify it as that, or I wasn't aware of really what was going on. I definitely think that I'm, like, more blessed than some people that, like, I don't think I have as much anxiety as some people. There are definitely things that I get anxious about. And like you said, like, I've also been, like, I've had that thing where whatever life is, so I'm so anxious about all these things that I just kind of shut down and, like, don't do any of it. I've definitely had those moments. But yeah, I don't know if it's, I don't really think it's, like, worry or fear about something. I don't know.
So, like, looking back, like, because I'm with you, because, like, looking back, I would always tell myself I was nervous, like, in school when I was in high school or whatever. I would always say I was nervous, quote unquote. I'm putting quotations around the word nervous, to take a test. But I really did have test anxiety. But I didn't have the word to describe it. I was just always nervous about it. But I had testing anxiety.
Yeah, I do think that's probably a lot of it. I think it is, like, I just didn't have the understanding of what it is, what it might actually be. And now, like, maybe in the last 3 or 4 years, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is anxiety. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling anxiety in this moment.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting shift, but a very important shift, because I think that's part of understanding what's going on with yourself.
Completely agree.
And like you said at the top of the podcast, you know, if you talk about it, if you can understand it, it has less control over you.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
At least that's how it is for me. Like, once I understand something, I'm just kind of like, cool, I know what this is. Like, I can, like, understand, like, oh, what's happening in my brain? Oh, what's happening around me? Why am I feeling this way? And it's like, once you call it out, your body can kind of regulate itself and be like, okay, this is happening. Cool.
Yeah. I'm, like, the same way.
You can relax.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Like, if I don't really ever, I haven't ever had, like, a moment where it's just, like, so overwhelmed with whatever anxiety, if it's, like, an anxious feeling or something. Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah, the second that I can, like, call it out and be like, okay, I know this is happening, I know why it's happening, then it doesn't, it doesn't have that power. It doesn't have that, like, I don't know, like, mysterious control or whatever. Yeah. It's like, no, I know what's going on. I know why it's going on. And you can kind of deconstruct it, I guess.
No, for sure. I think it's super legit, like, when you can do that and understand it. So if you don't already know, we're gonna give you a science so you can have some power over it and understand what's happening in your brain. And, you know, this isn't for everyone. So if this is a triggering podcast for you talking about anxiety, we completely understand. Yeah. But also, like, just know, we're not going to talk about things that are going to give you anxiety. We're just going to call out the things that scientifically are happening in your brain that cause anxiety and these feelings. So anxiety is an emotion characterized by feelings of tension, worried thoughts, and physical changes like increased blood pressure. So people with anxiety disorders usually have reoccurring intrusive thoughts or concerns, and they may avoid certain situations out of worry. They may also have physical symptoms such as sweating, trembling, dizziness, or a rapid heartbeat. And anxiety, like we talked about earlier, is not the same as fear, but they're often used interchangeably. Anxiety is considered a future-oriented, long-acting response that's broadly focused on a threat that you're scared that you're going to experience. Whereas fear is an appropriate, present-oriented, short-lived response to a clearly identifiable and specific threat.
One is now, the other is before something, potentially.
Anxiety is when you're, like, worrying about going into a haunted house. Like, you're so scared about going into the haunted house. Like, you're scared something's going to jump out at you. You fear something being there and jumping out at you. And then the fear, it's almost like you're putting yourself through it twice when you have anxiety about a situation.
That's true, because the fear would be, like, actually being in the haunted house and
the thing jumps out
scared.
At you. Yeah.
Yeah. Halloween just ended. Are you a haunted house person?
Absolutely not.
Right on. Right
on. That gave
on.
Me anxiety, like, even talking about it.
Dude, me too. There's almost nothing more that I hate in this world.
I agree. Those. I'm with you. That's like, ugh. That's not it. Okay. So there's several types of anxiety disorders. So there's generalized anxiety disorders, panic disorders, phobia-related disorders, like social anxiety disorder. And each type has unique symptoms. And generalized anxiety disorder, or GAD, is the most common and will often involve persistent worrying regarding non-specific life events and situations, which, like, I think everyone has some kind of anxiety disorder, sure, the older you get. But anxiety is the most common mental health condition seen in our society.
Yeah, I think I would reckon that almost everyone at some point in their life will experience a little form of, like, at least generalized anxiety disorder. Yeah.
So I might say something that is a little controversial. I think a little bit of anxiety is good for you. I'm not talking about the people that live every day in anxiety, but like for those individuals, like, I sincerely feel for you. Like, I do, because I can't imagine what that is like. But I do not think anxiety has become this kind of like
a
hot topic,
a trendy.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, it's definitely become like a hot thing to talk about. And
yeah, it's a hot topic. And I think, like, as a society as a whole, we lean a little too much on anxiety.
You know, we were talking at the beginning that obviously a lot of people talk about it now, which is good, but I do agree with you that maybe some people talk a little too much, and maybe
not everyone needs to be medicated for anxiety. Sometimes you just need to have some coping mechanisms to get you through the moment. That's my personal hot take. Sure. I just think in general, I think we are over medicating society. That is my, like, personal thought. Some people truly do need medication and treatment. I 1000% stand with you on that. But I don't think everyone does. Some people, I just think we need to kind of, like, put on our big girl and boy pants and let it be. Sorry. I know that may be controversial. I know it might really upset some people. But, like, I truly just feel that way. Like, yes, do you have anxiety? Yes, did I have testing anxiety? I did. But I got through it using coping mechanisms, and I still was able to, like, do my thing. Did it suck?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. But, like, sometimes you just got to suck it up. Sorry, that's my soapbox for the day.
No, I, like, it's good. And I think I agree with you, because I think it goes, it's both ways, where I think simultaneously, maybe more people than should are being medicated for something.
Yeah.
But then also simultaneously, people that probably should be medicated are not being medicated. Like, I think,
yes,
you know, right now,
we've
got a real mental health crisis going on in especially the U.S. But I do think there's a lot of people that probably should have the help that are not getting it. But I do totally agree with you that I do think there are some people out there that are very quick to just throw, you know, whatever it may be, some type of medication at a problem that maybe they could potentially just work through themselves, or maybe with the help of, like, going to therapy or something.
1000%.
They give you coping
mechanisms.
Yeah, like, that would probably benefit them more in the future than just taking a pill to make the problem go away.
Yeah.
So on that, yes, I do. I actually agree.
You got to do the work.
Always.
Sometimes.
Always. And you'll generally benefit more from that work if you can. Like, I agree. Like you said, like, absolutely. There are people out there that if you can take some medication and it helps, fantastic. That is so great.
1000%. But those are people with a true anxiety disorder. And I honestly, genuinely feel bad for those individuals that have true anxiety disorders, because I feel like they're getting shoved under a mat and categorized with all these other people that don't have an anxiety disorder. They're just functioning in everyday life and not getting the attention that they need. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say?
I think it makes sense. I think I know what you're saying.
I'm not trying to be insensitive to, like, anyone out there. Like, I'm truly sorry if I upset you by saying that, but, like, but people with true anxiety disorders need the attention. Some people, like you and I, where it's like, yes, we've experienced anxiety in our life, but we aren't experiencing it like they are experiencing it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good example of, like, you and I, you know, me personally, I'll speak for me, but I think we're similar, of, like,
yeah,
I have had anxiety. I have had it really badly at some points, you know, recently, whatever, years ago, mm-hmm. anything. But I'm working through it. I've worked through it. And I'm not yeah. about to get a prescription for some medication to help.
Yeah.
I don't think I fall into the category of someone that should probably be on a medication for anxiety. Luckily, I'm very grateful for that. If I was, then absolutely, like I said, a medication, if that can help, great.
Yeah.
But I don't think I fall in that. And I think there are a lot of people who have a little bit of anxiety, you know, come and go, whatever, here and there, big moment, something stressful in their life, they hit some anxiety, and they throw a medication at it to make the problem go away.
Sometimes you just got to feel the problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's...
Sometimes it's good
sure,
for you.
Sure, yeah. I mean, well, and working through it, if you can, yeah. again, like if you can, working through it will always benefit you more if you can, obviously.
Yeah.
Like we said, there are absolutely people out there that need that medication, and I'm so glad that it exists.
I am too, yes. Back to talking about anxiety, it shouldn't come as a surprise that your brain is literally the source of your anxiety. We said it once. We've said it a million times on the podcast. Your brain is wild. The human brain is insane. You are brain, and the brain is insane. So not only does anxiety manifest itself in thoughts, it also affects your brain's chemistry in ways that can alter future thoughts and affect the way your whole entire body operates, which is insane.
Yeah, I think that's what is the most insane thing and probably the most misunderstood things about anxiety. That I do think you have a lot of these people that maybe are being, they're insensitive to people with anxiety, that they're like, oh, what, you're just having some bad thoughts or whatever. But yeah. it's like, no, it can literally like change your body and like affect
yep.
what your body's doing physically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's way different than just having some thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree with you on that. So symptoms of anxiety disorders are thought to be a disruption of the emotional processing center in the brain rather than the higher cognitive centers. So the brain's limbic system, which is comprised of the hippocampus, the amygdala, the hypothalamus, and the thalamus, are responsible for the majority of emotional processing. So individuals with an anxiety disorder may have a heightened activity in these areas.
Mm. So they're just turned up to 10.
Exactly. And I think this is what's really interesting is that anxiety is the result of constant chatter between a number of different brain regions at once. It's basically called a fear network.
Oh, interesting.
So okay. No one's brain region drives anxiety on its own. Instead, it's the interaction among many brain areas that are all important in how we experience anxiety. So you know how we talked about like deja vu and how it's basically the brain backfiring?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I feel anxiety is.
It does kind of sound like it sounds like the brain, it's like overactive.
Yeah, it's like the emotional center of the brain, like the hippocampus, amygdala, hypothalamus, and thalamus are all just in overdrive and can't regulate the emotion. So they spit out anxiety because everything is just like overwired, overreacting, overstimulated.
Yeah, yeah.
So the brain is just like, anxiety, because we can't place an emotion on it.
All those areas of the brain are just in overdrive.
Yeah.
Firing at all times when they probably shouldn't be. And you get anxiety. That's how you get it.
Isn't it? I think that's just like so crazy though for me. Because
mm-hmm.
when I was doing this research, I was also just like very interested because I've never actually asked like, how does anxiety affect the brain? Like, where does it come from? Mm-hmm. Obviously knew it came from the brain, but I didn't know like what it was actually doing. And knowing that it's kind of like this limbic system,
mm-hmm.
I feel like next time I have some anxiety, I can just be like, my limbic system's overreacting. It doesn't know how to feel right now. And like that gives me a little bit of power over my anxiety, being like, my limbic system and my brain is freaking out.
Yeah, we've said this a million times, but it's just it is still so funny to think about, like, you know, if you're there and you have some anxiety and you're like, my limbic system in my brain, That is your brain thinking about itself and its limbic. Like, it's, I don't know.
It's
your,
like,
your brain is you, and it's
it
funny.
Is. But I think it's so crazy because you think about the limbic system and you're just kind of like, okay, these parts of my brain are overreacting because it's scared that I'm going to put myself in a bad situation. That's literally all your brain is concerned about, is keeping you alive.
Yeah, I had that thought of like, because I feel like, we were talking about deja vu and that it's kind of like a misfiring of the brain. Yeah. and likened it to anxiety. But I feel like anxiety is not necessarily an error of the brain.
It's overstimulated.
But it does serve, like, I think evolutionarily, it does serve a purpose. I think when it becomes very intense, that's when it's maybe a bit of an error of the mm-hmm. brain. But yeah, I mean, it does serve a purpose in that, like, the brain is thinking, hey, this might not be a good situation. You might want to get out of here because you're going to die or something.
So it's so interesting you say that. So they say one potential explanation for how this all works is the brain splits into two parts. So you have your cognitive brain and your emotional brain. So the frontal lobe is where all our sensations and thoughts come together as one unified experience. So this is your cognitive brain in the front of your head. The amygdala is located really deep in the brain, and it's a part of your emotional brain. So according to this theory, we only feel anxiety when signals from the emotional brain overpower the cognitive brain. And that pushes into our consciousness. So if you can rationalize, for example, the snake thing, snakes are rare in the woods when you're hiking. So using your cognitive brain, the cognitive brain network overtakes and tames the emotional fear network.
Okay. So, I mean, that right there is what you were talking about
a coping
explaining
mechanism.
Yeah. If you can explain anxiety and understand what's going on, then that is just, that's your cognitive brain basically battling back and taking control.
Yeah. It can, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to see a snake in the woods. What if I see a snake on this hike? Oh my gosh, like, I'm so scared if I see a snake. And then if you come back to yourself and you rationalize it and you're like, actually, wait, snakes are actually kind of rare to see. Like, they don't want to be slithering about. They're going to be hidden.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be chilling somewhere else. They're not going to want to see me as much as I don't want to see them. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, I'm good. I'm fine. But the emotions are so intense and so aggressive that, like, sometimes the cognitive brain, like this is talking about, it has to take a backseat. And that to me is so fascinating. The amygdala is so tiny, but it is so powerful that it can basically completely rewire your whole brain, send your heart pitter-pattering, make your hands clammy, like just completely overpower you. That is, like, so fascinating.
First off, amygdala, that's a great word. Amygdala?
It is.
What a great word.
What a great word.
Also, I was just thinking, since we just recorded it in the previous episode about sharks, we talked about how they basically turn off half of their brain.
Yeah.
And we made the comment of, like, how weird would that be if humans could do that? This is kind of that, right? Like,
It's
part of your brain overpowering the other and kind of shutting off one and then having to battle back and forth.
That's so true.
Yeah, that is just fascinating.
It's so crazy. Back to this, like, region of the frontal lobe. There's this place called the dorsal anterior cingulate cortex, the DACC. Basically, this amplifies fearful signals coming from the amygdala. So when anxious patients are shown pictures of fearful faces, the DACC and amygdala, with other brain regions, ramp up their chatter, producing palpable anxiety. So people without anxiety show little to no response, but people that do have anxiety get really ramped up.
Okay. Interesting. So the amygdala is creating the signals.
Yes.
But the dorsal anterior cingulate cortex, what a
amplifies
name.
Amplifies it. I know, right?
Yeah, amplifies it. Turns it up to 11.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically shutting down your cognitive function in the frontal lobe.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
So then, on the other hand, a different part of the frontal lobe called the ventromedial prefrontal cortex seems to dampen the signals coming from the amygdala. So patients with damage to this brain region are more likely to experience anxiety since there's literally no brakes on the amygdala.
Okay. Interesting.
Yes.
So if somebody had like very heavy chronic anxiety, it like, could be damaged
like
to
real
that.
Anxiety, like real anxiety. Yeah, like, yes.
Yeah. A serious, serious disorder.
Yeah.
It could be damaged to that area of the brain. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Okay.
And this acts as like the awareness. So like when the DACC kicks in, this is supposed to be come in the prefrontal cortex, the ventromedial prefrontal cortex is supposed to be like, no, 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 hold on. It's not as bad as you think. We're good.
Okay.
But if you don't have this, then the amygdala can just run wild.
So these are basically the two things battling it out back and forth. The amygdala is just like chilling, making all the emotions.
The amygdala is running around and they're like, what's happening? I don't like this. This snake's going to come get us. Yeah, this is it is creating all the terrible imagery in your head and giving you all the fear.
Listen, we all know an amygdala in our life.
Yes, we do.
And but yeah, the PFC and the DACC are the two things trying to regulate the emotion. Yeah. That's interesting. Okay.
It's so fascinating. So using functional magnetic resonance imaging or an fMRI, if you know what an MRI is, it's basically where you can see inside the body, but this is functional and MRI. So you're not laying there. You're like functioning, like doing stuff. Scientists have shown that these brain regions do become active when people experience anxiety. But the details of how these regions work together is still not settled. So scientists are working worldwide to chip away at the mystery behind anxiety and anxiety disorders because they're really not sure. And to be honest with you, I think anxiety is different person to person. I don't think that like an anxiety disorder is a one size fits all because no brain is a one size fits all.
Yeah, I think that's the hard thing. I mean, literally every single podcast that we have done, every single episode that involves the brain, I think at this point it's a joke that we're like always at the end of it. They're like, but they don't really know. But I think that's the problem is that every human, every brain and the way that it functions is slightly different. So it's not like one size fits all solution or even just explanation, not even looking for a solution, but just an explanation of like, why is this happening? I hope these scientists, researchers have success because I mean, like we talked about at the beginning, anxiety is a large issue facing a lot of people.
It is.
And so, the more we can understand it, the more treatment that there can be for people that really need it.
I think
the
also
brain is complex.
The brain is very complex. And the other thing I didn't even get into with this, which I could because I find it so fascinating, is the hormones that go into this and the neurotransmitters and how the brain fires and everything else. Like we're just talking about the fear center of the brain, like the things that are interacting together. Hopefully give you guys a little bit of power over your anxiety and to answer the question of where does it come from? Because it comes from the amygdala, but the limbic system with all the other systems involved makes it really hard to understand. But if we can be a little voice for you all and be like, hey, if you're feeling anxiety, just call out your limbic system and your fear center and just be like, my amygdala, my hippocampus, my blah, blah, blah is acting up a little bit. Like, I'm going to use cognitive reasoning because I'm feeling this way. Like I'm going to help myself understand that the situation is fine and I'm good.
I think that's all that
matters. Like that's what we're here for. It's like to give you just a little bit of information because I mean, we could do a 3-hour long podcast on anxiety and what they know about it in the brain and how it acts and the hormones and everything else in your body that it affects. But I mean, we don't have that kind of time. But if you are curious and you want more information on this, we will have a link in our show notes to a website and an article and things that have been verified by doctors and have more information on anxiety in the brain so that you guys can understand it further. So that will be in our show notes, but it is the Calm Clinic and they have a whole thing about anxiety and anxiety in the brain and how it reacts with the body as well.
I feel like it's a common thing that we always mention on this podcast, not about anxiety, but just about like being curious and having that cognitive thinking.
Yeah.
When it's, you know, talking about like research and whatever, getting your information, just think cognitively, think critically about things. If you're someone that struggles with anxiety,
yeah,
if you can try and fight back and yeah, think, get that cognitive brain thinking, think critically about the situation you're in, like the example you gave about the snake in the woods. If you're in the woods hiking and you're scared of running into a snake, but you can just for a second think, you know, whatever, there's not going to be a snake here. They're not, you know, yeah, it's winter or yeah, there's no snakes in this area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that goes a long way. So yeah, I think more so than ever, that cognitive thinking, that critical thinking is oh so very important.
So important. It's insanely important.
Dude, that was great. That was fascinating.
It's just so funny how the brain works, honestly.
Yeah, it is so funny and just ridiculous how what this gooey blob in our head can do.
Yeah.
And the fact that it is us. It yeah, is us.
And if you like you're someone experiencing anxiety, I just want to echo this. There is no shame and going to a therapist that specializes in anxiety and learning coping mechanisms. Like yeah, I had to do that in college. I knew I did not want to be medicated because I was like I don't need that for me because I don't have severe anxiety. I just need some coping mechanisms to understand how I'm feeling in yeah, the moment and what I can do. And for me, it was cognitive thinking, like acknowledging like, hey, I'm feeling this way, but blah, 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 blah. Like using yeah, logic and understanding. And also another thing that was really helpful for me was taking myself out of situations. Like before I started a test, I would sit there with the test in front of me and take like 5 really deep breaths and relax and remind myself like, hey, I'm good. Hey, I'm okay. Like we studied, we know this information. Don't get wound up. Just relax. And like the other thing that I started doing was exercising. Exercising helped me so much. Like it allows you to regulate your body. I don't fully understand how and why it works, but I highly recommend it, whether it's going outside and going for a walk for 15 to 20 minutes, whether it's running on the treadmill, whether it's going to a workout class, just something to just like be there for yourself and to be present in your body. Like those were the things that helped me significantly.
I think I have an idea of why that works because, and I can tell you what my thing is.
What?
If I'm ever feeling stressed or anxious, I will sit down and just play the guitar.
Ooh, yeah.
And not anything specific, just mindlessly sit and play. Mm-hmm. And the reason that it works for me, and I think this might be in the same vein of why exercise works. I think exercise also, there's a lot of like chemicals released in your body as well that help.
Yeah.
But specifically similar to for me sitting down playing the guitar is because I can take it takes over my mind. I can just yeah, fully focus on playing whatever song this is and I'm not thinking about anything else and that's it.
I love that.
And I think I would assume, yeah, with exercise it's kind of the same thing. You can just kind of like let yourself go and be focused on that in the yeah, moment.
1000%.
I just sit and play the guitar for an hour or whatever, and that helps.
No, I'm totally about that. And it's different for everyone. Like our strategies sure, yeah, might not work for you, which is why, you know, it's not a one size fits all. That's why medication can't be a one size fits all either. Like,
yeah, yeah. You got to find that thing, whatever works for you.
And then it may stop working for you. Like working that's out true, stopped working for me. So I had to go find a different coping mechanism. And that yeah, turned into journaling. When I feel a little anxious, I just oh, go nice, write. Just go write.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to yeah, be anything long. It can literally be a couple bullet points of things that are stressing me out. But I leave it in the book. And then
that's interesting.
I walk and like can do whatever. So like you just have to remember, like, it's gonna manifest itself in different ways and you just have to keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because your brain becomes used to things. Yeah, your body becomes used to things. You have to have different outlets, different coping mechanisms.
Your brain is constantly at a war with itself.
Constantly. Constantly. It's so wild.
The brain.
The brain. The more I think about it, the harder it makes my head hurt. It's crazy.
Yeah, I feel that for sure. Should we move on to what I learned on Reddit this week?
Yeah, what did you learn on Reddit this week? I need something different.
For anyone that clicked in for anxiety, this is going to be a total 180 here because it has nothing to do with anxiety or anything like that.
Here's your dopamine for the day.
But it is, it's again, like the things that I'm pulling from Reddit are totally just like when I read it, it just hits me. I'm like, what? What?
I love it.
So I'm gonna pose a scenario and I want to hear what your answer would be.
I love when you give me scenarios. I'm ready. What? Last week it was a snail, right? A snail with $1 million.
Yeah, last week it was the world famous snail scenario.
Yeah.
What would you think would be used as a treatment for ingesting antifreeze?
I swallowed antifreeze.
For some reason you took a big swig of antifreeze.
Please don't do this. Just I'm putting
don't,
that out there.
No one. Don't do no this. No one. It's really
do
bad.
This. I will literally come personally and punch you in the face.
Oh wow.
Don't do this. Like,
yeah,
just don't. I don't know. I don't even know what antifreeze is made of.
Well, I can give you so specifically the issue with antifreeze.
Call 911.
Well, yes, that should probably be the first. I would, if you're a parent out there or a kid and this happens, anyone really, call 911, call poison control. They will tell you what to do. But the problem with antifreeze specifically is the ethylene glycol in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's specifically what your liver does to the ethylene glycol.
What does it do? I'm intrigued now. I don't know what I would do. I would call 911 and ask them what to do.
Okay, yeah, there was no way you were ever going to guess this because I wouldn't have even, when I saw this, I was like, excuse me, that's how you people are treating? Apparently, vodka is used to treat antifreeze, ingesting antifreeze.
Interesting.
So I dug a little deeper on it and was like, okay, how and why?
I never would have guessed that. I was thinking some kind of powder.
Basically, like I said, it's the ethylene glycol. When it hits your liver and is being broken down by the liver, the enzymes in the liver basically create a toxic chemical when it reacts with ethylene glycol, and that is what will kill you.
Weird.
Like if you for some reason didn't have a liver, I mean, you'd be dead anyway, but just in a hypothetical situation, if you drank a thing of antifreeze and it didn't hit a liver, you would be fine, I guess. It might make you sick, but it wouldn't kill you. So that is what is killing you. So if you consume alcohol, which contains ethanol, that's the key, that's what alcohol is. Basically, what's happening is you are flooding your system with ethanol, which gets broken down in the liver, and that can block the liver from breaking down the antifreeze, the ethylene glycol of the antifreeze, and then it will just get passed on, processed with your kidneys, and you'll be fine.
What the heck?
So the ethanol from the alcohol basically acts as like a shield to the antifreeze to prevent your liver from breaking it down.
Holy crap.
And then it just gets passed through your body.
That is insane.
And the only reason they use vodka specifically, like you could use any sort of alcohol, anything with ethanol.
Well, vodka's like straight.
It's just, it's just like cheap, you know, like available
in it.
Like, yeah, I mean, it just like works. But yeah, that is that is apparently a way that people could treat consuming antifreeze.
That's insane. Again, not don't go drink any of that, please.
No,
but like,
please don't.
That's so interesting. That's such like a good hack. If like that ever happened, like if a kid got into it or something, like I don't even know.
let me just put this out there. If you do consume antifreeze, first call poison control. Call 911. I wouldn't go to bust out the vodka and start drinking it. Like don't listen. We're monkeys in trench coats, and
yeah.
So just like, you know, make sure you're getting the information from a very official source.
You did research it though, right?
I did. I mean, I looked it up, and it is like this. This is a thing.
That's so crazy.
The proper way to handle it would be definitely contact poison control.
Jeez, that is insane. I never in a million years would have guessed that. That's wild.
Right? Yeah, that was, I mean, that, like I said, it was just another one of those headlines that caught my eye of like, what? That's insane. Yeah.
Anxiety, yeah. Antifreeze, vodka. Jeez.
All of them. The whole mix.
It. You got all of it here. It's insane. Oh my gosh.
And that's what I learned on Reddit this week.
That's wild.
Also, antifreeze is obviously very toxic to animals.
Very.
If you are ever changing your antifreeze or adding, you know, topping off in your car, some of it happens to spill in like a garage, make sure to clean that up immediately. Because, yeah, if you have like cat or a dog or something, it is very sweet. Antifreeze is very sweet. Mm-hmm. And so they're drawn to it and they'll try and eat it. And it is very toxic.
There's
your other little
weird
tidbit.
I learned something new today too.
Dude, that's what we're out here to do.
Well, Science Pals, we love learning with you guys. Let us know if you have any other things that you want to learn. Leave us a rating and review or an email at
randomtheorypod@gmail.com.
And we will see you next week with some more random science.
Bye.
Bye, Science Pals.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.